afternoon. And what is your name, please, ma'am?
William Crocky.
Okay, everybody.
That's me.
Okay, the Honorable Miss Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, just give me just a minute here. I just need 1 minute. Oops, and I need to put on my... Okay. I'm just filling in some paperwork here, which takes a while here. I might need a number that somebody could read this again at some point. You know that goes. Okay, Ms. Crocky, can you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Leanne Naomi Crocky, 280-994.
Okay, thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning two allegations that appear on your warrant of arrest. And I see you were notified about this hearing on March 21st. You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
That's fine. You don't need to hire an attorney. It's just one of your rights. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look on the screen, all the way down to your right, at the very end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to him is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me on my other side is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today.
Okay.
Okay, also with us in the room, we have Mr. Oliveri, where you can see him now on your screen. He is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer today.
Okay.
So, Ms. Crocky and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Crocky, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So I'm going to read these two allegations to you, Ms. Crocky, and I need you to tell me whether they're true or false, as I read each one, okay? So here's allegation number one. This starts phase one of your hearing. The first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about January 17, 2018, per the TASC GCMS lab report dated February 7, 2018. Ms. Crocky, is this true or false?
It's true.
Okay. And the second allegation is that you were in violation of condition 12A, as demonstrated by your being discharged from your approved residence on February 3rd, 2018, and not reporting to your assigned PO or the duty officer at the South Mountain Parole Office at 801 South 16th Street, Suite Number 1 in Phoenix, by 10 a.m. the next business day, on or about February 4th, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, and thus you were an absconder from supervision. Ms. Crocky, is this true or false?
True.
Okay. Based on Ms. Crocky's admission in both allegations, I move to find her delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Thank you.
Agree,
Dr. Wright. Agree. Was that a yes, Mr. Neal?
I said agree.
Okay, I didn't hear you. You're kind of soft-spoken over there. Okay, Ms. Crocky, we can move to phase two of your hearing and determine if your community supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we do, I'm going to ask Mr. Oliveri to give us some background information about your case. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back with you. Mr. Oliveri?
Offender Crocky was released from the Department of Corrections on November 28th of 2017. She was arrested on March 2nd of 2018 by the Phoenix PD on an absconder warrant only, returned back to DOC custody that same day. She has 27 days of scone. Her projected supervision end date will be on August 24th of 2018. Current conviction, 2014, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2010, child adult abuse, 1 year, 2010, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year, and also in 2010, child adult abuse, 2 years, 6 months. The offender has two terms with ADC, CU and IR scores are a 4-4, mental health score of a 3, and substance abuse score of a 3. There was no SDG in information noted. One prior term of supervision, in 2013, TIS absconded for 67 days. She was reinstated by the DOEC. She absconded again for 25 days and then reached her CSED prior to seeing the DOEC. She has a moderate disciplinary history with violence noted. One other arrest, in 2010, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona County Jail. Her community risk level is a G2 V1. And additional information, on February 14th of 2018, 3 ARP letters were mailed out in an attempt to locate the offender.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Walter, on February?
February 14th.
14th.
Absconder reduction program letters were mailed out with no response received.
Okay. Absconder reduction. Got it. Okay. Ms. Cracky, we have just kind of a written summary of your case supervision in addition to what Mr. Oliveira read to us. So it looks like you were originally approved to go to 7218 East Bellevue in Scottsdale?
Yes.
And who lives there?
My pastor.
Okay.
William Davis.
That's your pastor. Okay. And that was in November. But then about 6 days, you were approved for One Directions, halfway house,
yes.
To do, and what happened there?
I had paid the week, and we were allowed to have visitors,
uh-huh.
And my boyfriend came over, he was coming out of the bathroom, and she thought that he was in my bedroom. They discharged me on those grounds, didn't even listen to what I had to say or nothing. And just assumed my boyfriend had been in my bedroom when he was actually in the bathroom.
Okay.
The bathroom was, like, right next door to my bedroom.
Okay, then it looks like you went over to Skelly House, right? But did you ever go to Skelly House? You were supposed to go
there. Yes,
you did?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and how long did you stay at Skelly House?
I was there, like, a week. I came in early.
Okay.
And they put me in, seclusion for 3 days to where I could detox. And when I came out, they put me into an apartment with a girl I had been in here with. Due to the nature of my charges back in 2010, she had an issue with me. And so she went to them saying I was stealing food from her, and they discharged me on her word alone. Even though I had food in the house of my own, they assumed that I was stealing her food.
Okay. So that was her way of getting a room to herself. Okay, then you went to the Solutions Halfway House on Longview.
Yes.
Okay, and it says you were discharged from there for failure to pay fees?
Yes.
Okay, then you went to Freeway.
Yes, they would not allow me. I had ran out of my psych medication.
Okay.
They sent me to UTC. I got my prescription. They sat there for 2 days and would not let me leave the property to go fill my medications. I left on my own accord because I needed my medication and I had been without it for like 6 days already, and I was feeling the effects of not having my medication.
And that was Solutions? Is that?
Yeah, no, that was
Vigo, okay. So then he went back to Skelly House, it looks like?
Oh, no, that first time I didn't go to Skelly House because I was on a medication and what it said.
I got you. Yeah, it's a little confusing because you had several places. Then it looks like you also went to New Beginning Halfway House on East Bond
yes.
Circle. Okay.
Yes, I was waiting for my social security card because while I was at Solutions,
yeah,
I had went to the social security office and applied for my social security card. They sent it to Solutions sent it back because I was no longer a resident there. So I had to go reapply for it while I was at the Foundations for New Beginnings, and I was waiting for it to get there, and I already had a job lined up. They had already hired me. I had already brought the proof to the halfway house, and they still kicked me out for lack of paying fees.
Okay, gotcha.
Also, my problem was trying to find a place, like, for long enough to get my social security card so that I could begin work.
Right, so you weren't able to get it work because you didn't have your car.
Yeah, because I have my driver's license already, my hard copy of my driver's license.
Okay.
But I was waiting for the hard copy of my social security card because the paper copy they no longer accept as proof of for employment.
Yep, I get that. Okay, so it looks like you're also submitting urines for a task under COVID, but on December 28th, you failed to provide one. What happened that day, do you remember?
Yes, I do. I went there, and it was like 20 minutes before closing, and I wasn't able to produce enough. I did go there to produce.
Okay.
They have the signature on the books that I did show up, but I was not able to produce the urine for them to be with the amount they needed for testing.
Okay, got it. But then it looks like January 17th, about 2 weeks later, you wound up testing positive for methamphetamine.
Yes, I did. They did an oral swab in the parole office, and if you know if the parole gentleman knows, he will notice that most of my dirties that I have are self-admitted. I was reaching out for help. I was telling my parole officer when I was messing up, and, like, I was doing it under times of major stress when I'd get kicked out of a halfway house or something, and I was worried about coming back here, I would go and mute.
Did you ever get kicked out of one of these halfway houses for using, or was it also always for other things?
Always for other things, never for using.
Okay.
Because when I was in a house, I had no reason to use. I had my medication, I had a stable place to live, you know, I was okay.
So the medication that you talked about, that's a mental health medication, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and it helps you? It's got you going pretty well? Okay, so as long as you take that, you're good to go. So how many times do you estimate that you use methamphetamine now while you were on supervision?
I probably admitted it like 3 or 4 times.
Okay, 3 or 4 times. And also, it looks like alcohol a little bit?
Yes.
What about alcohol?
One time.
Okay.
One time.
Only one time on that, okay. All right. And let's see, what else was I going to... Where'd you go then for the... Once you left, what was the last place? New Beginning?
Yeah, that is when, like, I called him the next morning because I had overslept. And it was past 10 o'clock. I did call my parole officer, and he told me to come in, but with the way he talked, like, I got scared. Because, like, I knew he was going to take me back because he had told me several times that each halfway house was my last chance.
So where'd you go then? Because that was like a month before you got picked up. Where'd you go?
I went to a friend's house for the first couple of nights, and then I went down to 24th Street in Van Buren. Like, I was hiding out in a place where I wasn't known.
Okay. And what were you doing when the Phoenix police arrested you? Why did you come to their attention?
Somebody had left a tip on the silent witness line stating where I was. They had found out that I absconded and, left a silent witness tip. And I was going to a girlfriend's motel room. And they had been staking out the area looking for me and another offender.
Okay. All right, there's also a suggestion in here somewhere that we call a lengthy report that you're working as an escort?
No.
Oh, that's not true? Okay.
That is not true at all.
All right. Okay, you talked about staying in touch with your parole officer and admitting the alcohol and the meth use and such, but why did you not stay in touch with your parole officer about the... Where you were when you absconded?
Because, like, by that time, I kind of just got it into my head that he was, like, tired of dealing with me, and, like, he was just ready to send me back, and so I got scared and I ran.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty clear he was really trying to work with you, because with all these different...
He was.
Okay.
I will give him that. He was trying to help me, and...
Okay.
Things were not going like they should.
Did you get the absconder reduction letters that were sent to you on February 14th?
No, I did not.
Okay, all right. Maybe they were sent to somewhere. If you were already living somewhere else by then, probably never got to you.
Probably.
Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Anybody have a question?
I just have one question.
Mr. Johnson has a question.
Mr. Crackle, it just seemed like you were staying at several different places, and each place you seem to have to move out of, but you don't seem to take any responsibility for your actions or having to move from those different places. It's always someone else's.
It wasn't so much like, most of it was due to my lack of funds. It wasn't like that was out of my hands. I'm saying like, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could have came up with money in a way that wouldn't have been legal or something, you know, because that's what I know. But like, I was trying to do things the right way and get an actual job and you know, be a productive member of society. And so I was sitting and waiting for my stuff to come in so I could get that job, and it just, one thing or another kept coming up to where I couldn't do that.
Okay. And your discharge letter from Foundations for New Beginnings, one of the reasons they listed in there says that you were running a, or participating in an escort service while you were at the facility.
No, that is absolutely not true. Apparently they got a phone call from some guy stating that, like, I don't know who it was, but they were stating that, like, I was going to work for them when he told me to, and that, like, I was going to be escorting, and that so was not true.
Okay. I just wanted to
check. I do not have a history of that at all.
All right. That's what's in the report, so I wanted to ask you about it. Thank you.
So, Ms. Preston, when did you apply for your Social Security card?
It was the first week I was in Foundations for New Beginnings.
Foundations, let me find out. So,
and I actually got, like, I received it from Foundations.
That was January, about middle of January, maybe?
Yeah.
So, but you were released on November 28th. Why didn't you apply then?
I had applied a few times. Because when you get out, you get a paper ID, a paper driver's license, or whatever. And you have to wait until your hard copy comes in the mail.
Okay.
To go to the Social Security office and get your Social Security card. They do not accept the paper copy of the name.
Okay.
It took me about almost 3 weeks to get my hard copy of my driver's license.
Got it. Okay. And you needed that to get the other?
Yes.
Yes, they sure don't make it easy, do they?
They don't.
Okay. All right. I think that's all the questions. We're coming toward the end of your hearing, Ms. Kraske. Do you have anything else you'd like to tell the board without repeating yourself, something you've already told us?
Yes. I am asking the board to let me out and give me a small time frame to commit myself into a rehab. I do have access current out there. Prison is not where I need to be. I just did 4 years before getting out of here. And I threw that clean time away in 45 days. There's an underlying problem that I need to get addressed. What it is, I don't know, but I'm hoping if you'll give me the chance to get into a rehab. I have contacted a few, and they will not let me come into the program until I'm out. So if I could get released and get into a rehab, I wouldn't do any life well out there. That my parole officer asked me to approve, and they do have an inpatient treatment program that I can get into, I can get back into. I've never been into a rehab, but I mean, prison didn't work, jail hasn't worked, halfway houses and daily meetings haven't worked. And I do want to be a productive member of society and do the right thing and do things right, but I need to get my problems addressed, and I can't do that sitting here or sitting in jail or at a halfway house because they don't give me the kind of structure and the treatment that I need.
Okay, Ms. Kraske, thank you. The board is going to go into discussion, and we don't discuss your case before we get right in this room, and so we've not discussed it, and we do all of our discussion in public, so you're What we need you to do is just stay on the phone and just remain silent, and the board will be back with you in just a moment.
Okay.
Okay? The board is now in discussion. Ms. Kratzky is an individual who had lots of difficulty finding a place to live, and for various reasons, some of them possibly difficulty with a roommate, but, you know, we all have that difficulty. She has admitted to using both alcohol and meth on her supervision, and she says she readily admitted that to her parole officer. It does look like she's in some sort of need of rehab. I'm not seeing her as a good candidate for community supervision, given that she absconded this time, not at this time, but absconded her last time out, and the board reinstated her, and she absconded again. And they had all the difficulty with following rules at the various 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, 6 halfway houses that she looked at. So I'm not seeing her as a good candidate, but I've listened to any input from fellow board members. Okay. Based on information then in warrant 2018W0385, our discussion with Ms. Kratzky was information provided by Mr. Oliveri of the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Kratzky was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by using meth and alcohol while on supervision, and also by absconding for about 27 days.
Second.
Agreed.
Thank you. Motion by myself, agreed by second by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright, and Mr. Quinones. Ms. Kratzky, you heard the board's discussion. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You have a scheduled release date right now of August 24th of 2018. We do urge you to get some sort of treatment. Understand you'll be on your mental health meds while you're there, so that'll be taken care of for sure. But I know there are some programs. I'm not sure which units at Perryville, but please do ask. At a minimum, there's NA and AA on most of the yards, so you should be able to participate in something like that. So thank you very much for participating in your hearing today. When you get out in August, around the 24th, you won't have a parole officer to worry about, so you can go on to rehab, but it's up to you, really. I mean, you're the one who has to decide, I'm going to take this and I'm going to address this issue. So we wish you good luck, and your hearing is concluded. If you get the phone back to your CO3, rather don't hang it up because it will disconnect us. Just lay it down.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.